This verse appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 25, where Kapila Dev replies to the questions of his mother, Devahuti, about the process of devotional service. As one advances in devotional activities, the process becomes progressively clearer and more encouraging. Unless one gets this spiritual encouragement by following the instructions of the spiritual master, it is not possible to make advancement. Therefore, one's development of a taste for executing these instructions is the test of one's devotional service. Initially, one must develop confidence by hearing the science of devotion from a qualified spiritual master. Then, as he associates with the devotees and tries to develop the means instructed by the spiritual master in his own life, his misgivings and other obstacles are vanquished by his execution of devotional service. Strong attachment for the transcendental service of the Lord develops as he continues listening to the message of Godhead. And if he steadfastly proceeds in this way, he is certainly elevated to the spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in the society of devotees, and is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens, and gradually one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. Magya Timinandasya Jinandina Salakaya Chaksurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. This verse is very instructive, as are all verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here it is explained the gradual development of a devotee's Krishna consciousness. I'm sorry I keep stopping, because I keep thinking that I'm somewhere in Eastern Europe where you get it translated every time. So I'm waiting for the translation and nothing happens. I've just been giving 2 classes a day for the last 3 weeks, so that's why I'm tuned into translations. They're good because they give you time to think what you're going to say next. Now we're in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and I have to be very careful. So, here Prabhupada is explaining the importance of association with other devotees, and especially the association of pure devotees. This gives us an extra impetus in our spiritual life to increase further. It's explained also that we can take bath in the Ganges over a long period of time by regularly taking a bath in the Ganges. One becomes purified. However, by the association of pure devotees, one moment's association is of great spiritual value, more so than keep dipping oneself in the Ganges. So, which is to say that the Ganges has a lot of power for cleansing and lifting our consciousness. I don't know about anyone else, but I remember my first time when I took a bath in the Ganges, and when I came out, I felt 100 times purer and 100 times lighter completely an ecstatic experience. It was evident, it was obvious that it made an impression on me. So what to speak of the association of the pure devotees, which is one moment's association, can change one's life for the better. And in essence, this is what's happened to all of us. We have come in contact with the pure devotees, and by their association, we have become lifted out of the material pool, ocean of existence. The ocean of material saga is so vast and great that we cannot actually measure the length and breadth of that ocean. It's so vast. The illusory energy is so powerful. Krishna says it's divine. It's my energy, so it's divine. And unfortunately, we have spent so long under the influence of that illusory energy that to come out of it, it takes quite a bit of effort. So I would like to give a little example of a plane journey, just to illustrate exactly what actually happens in our progress in spiritual life. Because sometimes we hear the philosophy over and over again, we've heard it over and over again, and we tend to listen, but not necessarily with rapt attention. But when there's a little analogy or a little story behind it, we tend to perk up and think, oh, that's a good way of saying it. That's an original way of saying it. And the analogy I'm going to give is a plane journey. So most of us have been on a plane journey. Yes? Anyone hasn't been on a plane journey? You? Okay. Well, this is a nice analogy because there's lots of things that happen on a plane journey. And I'm going to go through step by step exactly what happens. So we're assuming that we've gone through the airport security and we're being ushered out to the plane. We climb the steps and we find our seat, and then we sit down at our seat. When everyone's sat nicely, the captain usually says a few words, welcome to this flight, such and such, and it gives the destination, which is good in case you're on the wrong plane. And then he says, so I want you now to sit back. No, he says, first of all, fasten your seat belts, sit back, and enjoy the flight. So, This is the ABC to our spiritual instructions, that we have to fasten our seatbelts in spiritual life. The seatbelts are the four regulated principles, the chanting of 16 rounds, attending classes, associating with devotees, doing a little service every day, and also taking darshan of the deities. Shri Radha Gokulanandaki. So as Prabhupada explained it, the regulated principles of freedom. This is how we're going to start becoming freed from the illusory energy of the Lord. By these activities, of course there are many more, but these are the principal activities which we do every day. Now, the problem next is that we're going to go down a runway, and the runway is not exactly a very pleasant experience. So we're certainly not going to enjoy the flight yet. He told us that we should enjoy the flight, but this runway system is actually a little peculiar. In fact, it is said that a plane journey's worst part is the actual taking off of the plane. There's a little bit of bumping going on, so you're actually in your seat, you're having your seatbelt on, but you're going like this, right? And you're looking out of the window and you're seeing the plane's going really fast. And you're a little bit perturbed. Not a little bit perturbed. I don't know about anyone else, but I usually pray at that time. I usually get my beads and chant, or I just say to Krishna, well, you know, you're actually in control of this plane, so please let it take off nicely so I can get to my destination. But it's actually a very peculiar situation, and that's the situation that we're in before initiation. We're trying to chant, we're trying to associate, we're trying to develop faith, we're trying to be enthusiastic. But there's very little faith, there's very little enthusiasm. To chant our rounds is usually quite a struggle. And it's almost like an uphill fight. Fighting we must do right through our devotional journey. There's a fight. But in the beginning, the fight is quite intense because Maya is at the advantage point. She's a little bit higher than us, and we're trying to fight an uphill fight. And Maya has the better of us, so therefore, mostly, although we're actually trying to follow what we've been told to follow, it's a major struggle. Vishwanath Chakravarti also explains this, that the initial practices of Krishna consciousness is usually quite false. And usually we're following others. It's not exactly the blind leading the blind. Actually, I just recently saw a picture of this. It was an old picture that was painted. It was a copy of a picture that was painted a couple of hundred years ago. I saw it in Lithuania. And it was a picture of a blind leading the blind. They had their stick. On the other hand, they had their hand on the shoulder of another blind man in front of them, and so on and so on, and the blind man in front was already falling in the ditch. So this is what happens when the blind leads the blind. This is what happened to us before we became devotees. That everything that we heard was gram katha. Although it was very enthusiastically spoken, and do they speak? Well, they do speak. Sometimes when you pass a pub and you see all the talking that's going on inside, you wonder what they're talking about. You wonder what they're talking about. Talking. And then they also use their tongue for eating, eating, drinking. And they drink more so they can talk more all night. And all night long they're talking. And this is the pastime of the non-devotees. Gram katha, and they eat boga. So they're using the tongue for sense gratification, and that means that all the other senses become dull. The mind becomes disturbed, the intelligence is polluted, and such association is very dry and unrewarding. We don't actually leave these places ecstatic. In fact, we don't even know when we left the place. We're so intoxicated, someone has to carry us home. And then the next day, we've forgotten everything. We don't even know where we were, what we said, or what we did. This is the illusory energy. So therefore, we also do a lot of activities, but our activities are centered around Krishna. So therefore, at least it's better. We may not have a taste. We may not be very enthusiastic, right? Chanting our japa, for instance, which reminds me, I was told to give an announcement about japa workshop. On the 16th of January, there is a japa workshop by Giriraj Swami, and that is between 10 and 3. That's over. But just as well that we have these workshops, because we know what our japa is like in the beginning, don't we? Don't we? Shall I give a demonstration? Where's my beads? Anyway, my beads are somewhere. Demonstration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we're also lucky if we can even say the mantra properly. Sometimes when I listen to devotees chanting, they're not even chanting the mantra. Some other kind of mantra, I don't know where they got it from. But they're so far away from listening to their whatever they're saying. This is the nature of the mind. Sometimes the mind is so loud in its dictation that we don't even hear our own chanting, and then we chant something else instead. It's like a washing machine in the home, right? When there's a washing machine on, how can you hear your chanting? So the mind sometimes is like a washing machine. Do you really want to do this? I mean, you know, 16 rounds? That's a long time, you know, that's 2 hours. This is also something that happens to us in this stage of going down the runway. We're constantly asking ourselves, do we really want to be a devotee? Do we really want to chant 16 rounds? Do I really want to come every day to the temple? So the mind's constantly dictating, do you really? Don't you remember what you used to do? And then it also gives a nice picture again of what we used to do. So this is the struggle going down that runway. It's very bumpy. So, just needless to say, somehow we've got to come in contact with one of Krishna's pure devotees. And this is the process of initiation. It's not an eternal runway, so don't think that there's plenty of time to get initiated. Sometimes devotees think like that, okay, plenty of time. But unfortunately, what happens is that this idea of plenty of time means that you may light the fire of devotional service, but without the help of Krishna's representative, then you're also pouring water on that fire at the same time, which makes it very, very difficult. So it's one of the essential ingredients of advancement in spiritual life. Without it, we tend to remain stagnant in Krishna consciousness, not very enthusiastic at all, very little faith, and no taste. So getting initiation is very important. And if we remain one foot in Maya and one foot in Krishna, at some point Krishna's going to fast wind your spiritual life in one way. It has to go one way or the other. We cannot constantly have one foot in Maya and one foot in Krishna. So we have to at some point make a decision what we're going to do. Is it going to be Maya or is it going to be Krishna? So we're assuming that someone then suddenly takes shelter of a spiritual master and gets initiated. So that's an interesting stage of spiritual life, because at that stage we leave the runway. Of course, Prabhupada explained that there's a period of leaving the runway and actually gaining height where you're not quite sure whether you're actually off the ground or no. And then that's the stage where you're also still not sure whether you're making spiritual advancement. But then suddenly the plane goes up like that. It's not like that, but it goes up like that. And then you start seeing the ground which you just left, suddenly it's becoming more and more distant. This is a very exciting period of one's spiritual life. This is the time when we're rising above the modes of passion and ignorance. We're still within the clouds. It's still cloudy. We're still under the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. But it's at least where we're rising. We're trying to rise above those clouds. We're making headway. We shouldn't have any doubt about this, that our daily sadhana bhakti activities, we shouldn't have any doubt that it's working. Sometimes we could question whether it's working or no. We could question whether our 16 rounds is having any effect on us. We could question whether attending the Bhagavatam class is having any effect on us. We can question and question these things, but have no doubt they are so mystical. This is not a. We're not practicing here some mechanical process. This is a mystical process. devotional service is mystical. It happens in such a way that another word is inconceivable. Inconceivably, we're changing every day. We don't notice it, but we are changing every single day. So then when we rise above the modes, which is above the clouds, usually the plane starts to level out, right? And that's when we can start enjoying the flight. Usually, you know, it's sun's coming through the window and, you know, the seat belt sign has been switched off and the plane is leveling out. And you tend to kind of relax a little bit. Okay, that's great. And this is when in devotional service, one does actually start acquiring a taste, acquiring great faith. Our senses become illuminated, our mind becomes peaceful, and our intelligence becomes cleansed, very sharp with knowledge and detachment. So that's when devotional service gets really exciting, because ultimately, this is what Prabhupada is explaining here. We need to be satisfied in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not something that we should be unhappy about. We must come to that stage where these activities and practices are joyfully performed. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So when one is joyfully performing one's service, then it's almost like things are being done effortlessly. Krishna also explains that when the mind is peaceful, the supersoul tends to start to intervene with your service. And the supersoul gets you up in the morning. The supersoul directs your service. You know, you're out on book distribution and, you know, you have full faith that what you're distributing is divine, and you have full faith that the Lord will direct you, or the Lord will send you the right persons who are ready to receive one of Prabhupada's books. And mystically, these books just go out one by one, one by one, one by one, effortlessly. And you're wondering, what's going on? How is this possible? I've never been a salesman. I don't know anything about communicating with people. Yet I'm communicating, and not only communicating, I'm distributing books here, one after another. This is mystic perfection. And the highest mystic perfection is to make someone a devotee. So this is another thing that we do. We not only just distribute Prabhupada's books. Of course, Prabhupada's books in themselves, the very words inside them, help someone along in spiritual life to decide whether he wants to be a devotee or not. But we also give the training to that devotee. We give them spiritual training. So these are all mystical feats that are happening within our life and the life of younger devotees that help us through the obstacles of our journey back home, back to Godhead. So I hope that this analogy has been clear. I've only said it a few times, but and Prabhupada is saying here that we shouldn't have any doubt that the process works, and he says this is a great hope for the non-devotees. They're hoping against hope that someday, somehow, they're going to come across that happiness that is always being advertised to them, right? They're also using some of our words now. They didn't used to use them, but now they're using words like nectar, you know? Get the nectar. Get the bliss. So these words, I know when I joined, when I was reading Prabhupada's books, or I heard someone saying the word nectar or bliss, couldn't figure out for some time what that was, because it's not something that we use in the material world. Nectar? You know, everything's sour. Bliss? Well, at the most we can be happy. What's bliss? There's a new film just recently been released, Hollywood film called Avatar. How do they know that word, Avatar? They copied it. It's from Prabhupada's books. But devotees, please don't be in an illusion thinking that this is a Krishna conscious film. From what I've heard, it took about 15 years to produce. And it's probably the climax of the illusory energy. So you'll have 2 hours of diving grossly deep into the illusory energy. It will not help your Krishna consciousness. So they may try to copy there's a world of difference between the life of a devotee and the life of a non-devotee. Right? Krishna comes and performs superhuman activities. But the fools, he says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. So instead they create their own Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. So they also want a superhuman being, you know? Just as we have our superhuman being, Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, all the avatars that have descended, they perform superhuman activities. So they want a perverted reflection of that. So they create their own little avatars. But unfortunately, these avatars, they're also limited in their power and potency. I think, is it Superman? He cannot even walk now? Is it? He had an accident? He's passed away. Well, there you go. Super duper Maya illusion. But that's their life. That's their world. They have to associate. They have to talk. They have to try to create their own little world, which defies the world that devotees live in. And for us, we simply look on and think, How can they possibly be enthusiastic about this? They also worship famous people, and then side by side of worshiping famous people, they then give the accounts of the bad things that these people do. Seems to be contradictory to me. But on one side, they want us to be like them. But then on the other side, they're very eager to portray the problems and difficulties that they're having. So we're trying to make headway. We shouldn't have any doubts about the fact that we're making spiritual advancement. We've got everything there going for us. There's everything to gain, nothing to lose. Lord Chaitanya has picked us up onto his boat. He's pulled us out of the ocean of material saga. On that boat, we have nice association. We have pure devotees. We have Lord Chaitanya's mission. We have everything there for a nice, swift progress crossing that ocean. In fact, Krishna also helps. It's explained that the vast ocean of material saga, if one is sincere, becomes reduced to the size of a calf's hoofprint. So a calf's hoofprint is not so difficult to cross. Krishna says, if one surrenders to me, I will swiftly, his advancement will be swift. I am the swift deliverer of my devotees. Swift. We've seen birds. There's a bird called Swift. And this bird is very clever in his flying. So the devotees are also very expert in their swift deliverance because of the help of Guru and Krishna. So let us continue the association of each other. Let us continue practicing the sadhana bhakti process, the regulative principles of freedom. Let's rise above the modes of material nature. And let's ultimately reestablish our eternal constitutional position of being an eternal servant of Krishna, gaining our eternal lila with Krishna, and then enjoying eternal life. As I said, there's everything to gain, nothing to lose. Now that we're on the boat of devotional service, don't jump off the boat. In fact, in one sense, we could have two bead bags. One bead bag in the right hand and the other in the left hand. In the right hand, we can chant our japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. In the left hand, we can chant another mantra. And that mantra is, quitting Krishna consciousness is not an option. Quitting 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 is not an option. Hare Krishna, quitting is not an option. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Of course, ask your temple president first if you're allowed to have a bead bag in your left hand. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions, and we can take them.